Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hello and welcome to edition 205 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. My name is Michael Bailey, and in this podcast, we are going to bring you our 2017 Japanese Grand Prix predictions in this pod. Who will Kevin Magnussen offend next? Will Daniel Kvyat turn up, just in case? And what could possibly go wrong next for Ferrari? Joining me on the pod for the final time this week, and once again here at Archon Towers, are David Tillier and Richard Baxter. Gents, have you enjoyed your week, DT, on the pod?
It's been good to be back. Yeah, it's been nice to be back in the throes of things, as it were.
It's been too long, hasn't it? Rich, cookies, a treat. You are now going to have to bring cookies in every week.
I don't know, I could probably get my girlfriend to bake something. She quite enjoys baking, so...
Awesome.
I'll do that, maybe.
What would she bake, if you think, you know, as a first choice?
Probably brownies. That seems to be the go-to thing.
Oh, my God. The bar has been raised.
She did do me a pretty awesome birthday cake with a little icing F1 car and stuff on. So maybe for the 300th podcast or something, we can do that.
Oh, I like your style, Rich.
She sounds like a keeper.
Yeah, absolutely. Too true. Right, well, I'm glad everyone's well. Before we get stuck into the serious business, our Japanese Grand Prix preview podcast is available to listen to on your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe. You know the rest. And our most recent triumvirate of pods is completed by our Malaysia Grand Prix review podcast, which you can also catch on your NRF1 feed. So, the Prediction League. How's it been going? Well, guess what? Me, I updated the standings all the way up to Singapore. No need to thank me or abuse me, which I did get a little bit of in the intervening time. It did take a while to update it, but I haven't updated it to include Malaysia. This podcast just came around a little bit too quickly. I only just got around to watching the race. Apologies. But in terms of the actual standings, shall we have a look at these now? Leader, no surprises here, Steve Rust. He's being chased very hotly by Kieran Cousins. Hello there, Kieran. Thanks for your listening and your ears, of course. Jason A. Burnett is third with DT. You're sat in fourth. Good work.
I know. I can't believe it myself. It's I think it's been a sort of, since the summer break, I've had a little surge.
Well, I'm sure you have. So DT's fourth. Our stateside listener, engineer extraordinaire Andy Whitney, is in fifth. I'm sixth. Rich, you're seventh. The Dats Life podcast boys, hello Tom and Dave, they're in eighth, with Perry Hamilton ninth and David Hughes an excellent tenth. Kyle's having a mare.
He's not being Oracle now, is he?
all right, DT, long way to go yet. Oh, he's relishing that. Never heard that tone of voice in your heard that tone in your voice anyway. Yeah, so that's the sort of top end. You can see all the standings if you go to nrf1.uk/predict F1. It must be said, we've got six rounds to be included in the standings, and of course five more races to go. Steve and Kieran do look like they're in a battle themselves for top spot, because they're quite a way clear of everyone else. A word here for Graham Parker, who in his one round, and F1 Dino on Twitter, and Maxwell Kerry as well, both fantastic percentage success rates. So had they have produced more predictions, they'd be much higher up. But Maxwell's joined the party late, so he's doing really well. In terms of kudos points, it should be noted that Kieran, for all his 14 rounds of podcasts, is only on 8 kudos points. So he's been playing it particularly safe. Steve's only on 9. So that maybe puts that into context a little bit. At the other end, the important end, Rich, you're second at the moment to Kurt S., who... I mean, bless him. Kurt, you're doing a brilliant job, because the percentage success rate is pretty low. 64 kudos points. There are some phenomenal predictions that Kurt has made. Keep them coming. How are you looking at that? Is this going to up over the next few weeks, Rich, the kudos battle?
We'll try. I mean, I didn't get any from Malaysia, right? So I need to go a bit more wild and get some more
Judas points.
Yeah,
it's like your backup. You have been warned, Kurt. You have been warned. So there we go. As I said, nrf1.uk/predictf1. You'll be able to see all the standings for yourself, as well as the rules. And if you want to get involved, the only rule is get your predictions in before the start of FP1 on the race weekend day. That's the only rule. Predict anything you want. Be as crazy as you want. You will be rewarded for it. Hopefully we'll have some prizes and sort of stuff sorted out. I've said that all year. But yeah, I'm working on it. And you know the rules. It's never too late. You might actually be a bit late to win it now. But you can push up the table. And it's a big table. And it'll be very satisfying, as some guys like Nick Holder and other guys out there will be able to testify. If you start moving up the table, it puts a smile on your face. And to submit your predictions, all you need to do is get in touch with us on Twitter, Instagram or Facebook at the NRF1. If you can find us on Google Plus and YouTube, all the better. You can send them there or drop us an email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. I haven't had a chance to go through the Malaysia predictions, but shall we have a quick look live to see what they were? Just very quickly.
Why not?
Bearing in mind, I've still got the mid-season predictions and pre-season predictions to calculate as well.
I don't think I put in three of those.
Oh, DT.
Oh. I can't remember anyway.
Yeah. Fair enough. A lot of people said that Hamilton would win. Lots of people here. Let's have a look at Steve Rust. He said that Stroll would finish ahead of Massa. Ferraris would be split in qualifying. Not quite the way he probably thought. Maxwell, Kerry. There was a great prediction from Andy Whitney, who said that one of the qualifying times would finish as 0.200 in honour of our 200th episode. I haven't checked that. I can't wait to check it. In fact, Andy may well have sent me an email telling me what the result was, and then I get to check them, so that's always handy. What was they saying? Maxwell, Kerry. Let's have a look at one of the ones he picked out. Alonso to retire lap 26. Didn't happen. Kurt always does some good ones. Bottas DNF. No, sorry, Kurt. And Nick Holder, the leader, to retire in the race. Didn't happen either. Lots of things didn't happen, but it's not about the ones that didn't happen, it's about the ones that did. Should we pick one from me? What did I say? No Ferrari on the podium. F*** me. 10 points me. That's good. What else we got? What did you say, Rich?
A lot of wrong things.
Excellent.
Well, the one I was really excited about was that I said both Mercedes would use wet, intermediate and dry tyres during the race, thinking it was going to be this wet, dry race that we've seen quite often, and there was not even any rain during the race. And then I think it finished, and then you kind of could see a few spots on the camera lens, and it was like, are you serious?
We did have some incredible predictions that were right, by the way, in the last few races. I can't remember now. I'm just trying to have a flick through, but there's one where I can't remember who it was. It's such a shame. I have to dig it out. But one predicted, say, the two Toro Rosso cars in their positions, and that was exactly where they finished. Nuts.
I honestly thought I was going to, at one point at the start of the race, I thought, oh, maybe I'm on for a clean sweep here. But unfortunately, Alonso let me down and Hamilton let me down. But the rest of them weren't too far off, if I remember rightly.
All right then, DT. Well, let's have a look. Hamilton, P1. Vettel outside the top three. McLaren, 2 in Q3.
Yeah, so that was...
Yeah.
I've
got that tonight. And two classified finishes, two safety cars.
Which I didn't get any.
No. Rain in FP3. Was there rain in FP3?
No, I said
there'll be rain in at least one session, which I think was a bit of a prediction, seeing it's Malaysia.
Yeah.
But,
Well, we do have an issue, though, don't we? Because you did send these predictions in late, and it was your pass.
I did, but
it was my pass, and everyone else has got one, so I don't think I can be penalised for that. But also, I could have been a bit devious and had a quick look, but I didn't look until after I'd said the predictions, and then once I'd looked, I was like, oh, I really cocked up these predictions this week. But actually, they actually came out all right in my favour, because I said Hamilton was going to win, then I saw the results and thought, oh, there's no chance, because Vettel's going to walk it.
Let's have a look, actually. 1, 2, 3... Basically, everyone predicted Hamilton to win, so there we go. Rich, you're waiting patiently.
No, I just had a look through the qualifying lap times from Malaysia, and believe it or not, no one even finished with a 0.2 of a second anywhere. But our good friend, I don't know if he's a good friend, but our good local guy, Palmer, got a 132.100. So we got 100 on the dot.
Okay, that's close enough.
So it was a tenth away.
Yeah, that's only a tenth away, Andy. Great prediction, though. It was a great prediction.
more of those.
You get extra kudos points for that kind of prediction. That prediction quality brings home the kudos points, as Rich knows.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Come on, then. It's the big one. Let's get the predictions kicked off, then, shall we? Ourselves, us guys here, we have the big responsibility. DT, would you like to go first?
Why not, seeing as I have them lovingly prepared?
Oh, he's lovingly prepared them.
About 5 minutes ago. So, I'm going to go with a Vettel pole and win.
Oh, big response.
Yeah, I think just my gut tells me that he's going to come back swinging. I'm going to say that one Red Bull racing car is going to be ahead of at least one Mercedes. So, i.e., not ahead of both of them, but at least ahead of one of them by the end of the race. I'm going to say Gasly's going to make top 12. So a bit of an improvement. I'm going to say Ocon's going to get top 8. I'll say Stroll's going to finish ahead of Massa. And then I'm going to say Jenson Button at some point is going to appear on the Channel 4 coverage. I don't even know if he's going to Japan, but I know he loves it. So, and for kudos, I'm going to say Alonso is going to announce his retirement.
F***ing hell, he's never.
Do you think?
I don't know.
It does seem, you know, I'm waiting for the bombshell because I'm surprised he hasn't announced anything yet.
I thought I needed at least one wild card.
Yeah. Well, hey, no complaints, DT. Might get 2 kudos points for that. That is so wild.
To be fair, I thought Hamilton was last week because I saw on Twitter he put a picture of him standing next to a motorbike and he put announcement coming tomorrow. And I was thinking, is he going to go do motorbike racing or something? And it wasn't. It was just whatever brand who he sponsored with have made a Lewis Hamilton model motorbike. So it's like, oh. Yeah. That was a bit of a
classy.
Speaking of Hamilton announcements, have you seen that he's gone vegan?
Yes. And we didn't ever get the chance to touch on it, but he did talk a lot about the environment, didn't he? And this, that and the other. And I think that's fine. Lewis can talk about whatever he wants to. It's completely up to him. And I think it's great when people have opinions on things. It's just slightly difficult with him talking about the environment a lot when he travels everywhere on his own private jet.
Yeah, I mean, I find it really sickly when celebrities develop some kind of, it feels like a fake conscience. And I'm not saying specifically about Hamilton, but in general, you feel like it's just this culture where they kind of have to almost not be whiter than white. They can't just be good people. They've got to be like really extreme in one way or another to say that they're being wonderful for the environment or, you know, the pygmy squirrel or whatever.
What have you got against the pygmy squirrel, DT? Jeez.
I don't even know if it's a real thing.
We'll have to check.
It might be. But yeah, going vegan. I mean, it's a stupid decision from an athlete's point of view to try and change his diet midway through the season. Absolutely ridiculous thing for him to do because he needs, not only does he need the consistency to keep his edge, but also the lack of meat. Well, the lack of meat will can affect his adrenal response, and his adrenal response is going to give him that edge to attack and to overtake and defend, and he needs that. And if you get with being vegan, that's potentially going to hamper his performance. So yeah, so stupid in my mind.
It is worth saying as well, you are a paramedic, so you do know about the human body a pretty good amount.
I know which bit is the foot end and which bit is the head end.
Yeah. Always helpful when you turn up in an emergency. Yeah. So point me to the head. No, we haven't got time for this. And Rich has thankfully Googled and the pygmy squirrel does really exist. So Lewis can maybe start devouring pygmy squirrels. That'd be the right meat to help him get through the rest of this season. Rich, quickly, give us your predictions.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to say there will be a virtual safety car during the race. And now I'm going to call lesser spotted virtual safety car.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't actually see it, will we?
No, but there will be one.
Do you think we'll ever get a hologram safety car?
Probably at the same time we get hologram racing from in a control room doing it.
Tron or something, right?
Tron! That's the spirit.
There you go, that's a prediction. 20 years' time.
No, I'm not doing that. What pod will be on then? 300.
My next one, I'm going to say someone will start the race from the pit lane.
Yes.
Only one Mercedes to finish the race.
Oof.
I'm going to say I wasn't sure, so I sent a message and I was told to say pole position will be a 1 minute 29.524.
Who did you send this message to?
Trudy.
Brilliant. This is your other half, so that's good. Yeah. I did notice you predicted I got really confused. You predicted a fastest time for pole, and it was like 15 to 20 seconds slow. I was like, holy mother of God, Richard's completely f***ed this up. It was Italy and it was wet, so that was why. But I mean, it took me a while to get hold of that. Anyway.
But yeah, that was pretty awful.
What did you say, 1 minute?
29.524.
Yeah, because given last year was 130.647.
Oh, that's not a bad shout, I suppose. It could be
slow. I'd say it's a bit slow, yeah. Given how much faster the cars are.
Maybe they'll go a bit slower just for that.
Drew T has suggested this, so we can't argue with it. That's the
right. Yeah. So I have to say it. On my last one, I'm going to say there will be at least one kid dressed up in full race attire, as there always is when they go Japan.
Full race attire?
Yeah.
Well, like a helmet and a car?
Yeah, you get these, the parents who you can see have clearly dressed their kid up to look like a driver, and they've got the boots on, the gloves, the overalls and the helmet.
Okay. Well, if you see it, you're going to have to take a picture of it and send it to me, because I can't be to look out for that one. But I want to see the Honda hats where they have the rear wings on the hats. They're always good. Or are they the front wings? I can't remember, but they're always good fun. Is that it, Rich?
That's the lot, yeah.
Okay. Right, my go then, isn't it? Okay, I think Valtteri Bottas is... Stop rubbing your hands. Valtteri Bottas is going to react to his worst time in F1. We're going to see him...
Just as an example, like this was a previous one.
Yeah, I see. It's a Japanese kid in a Ferrari overalls and cap doing his best Michael Schumacher wave, which is his arms actually being held up as well. So the poor kid doesn't even want to wave by the looks of him.
Yeah.
He had a great time, I'm sure, and he will no doubt be in love with Formula One. So what did I say? Yeah, Valtteri Bottas is going to respond. Valtteri Bottas is going to be top four, which I know sounds a bit but that's because I think there'll be three different teams on the podium, and I don't think Valtteri will finish ahead of Lewis, if that makes sense. So Valtteri will be fourth, three different teams on the podium. Pierre Gasly will DNF. It'll be a tough second race for him. I don't know how. It might happen late, it might happen early, but he ain't going to finish. Fernando Alonso will be back on form and back ahead of Stoffel van Dorn. And Max Verstappen will finish ahead of Daniel Ricciardo again, because I think he's got the bit between his teeth now. I think that win's going to do so much for his confidence. One more prediction. What did you say qualifying would be? I might undercut you.
129.524.
Okay, I'm going to say it'll be... And you said last year's was a 130.
130.6.
All right, I will say it'll be a 127.897. We'll see who gets closest. Done. Oh, I love those ones. They're so much fun. Well done for coming up with those, Rich. Happy, everyone? Done? Should we eat the last biscuit?
Definitely.
All right, then we'll do that. The social media plugs again. The channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at the NRF1. You know the website, nrf1.uk. And email us, please do, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. In the next couple of weeks, we'll have a return of our news podcast, and we'll be able to do some tweets and social and get your comments and questions in on the podcast. If you want to get involved in the Prediction League, do so. You can still do it. You can join whenever. It doesn't matter. Just get involved. nrf1.uk/predictf1 will have all the rules and helpful pointers for getting involved. But that's it for our three pods in 3 days this week. Oh, well done, everyone. Goodbye from our guests. Goodbye, TT.
Sayonara.
Look at him. Goodbye, Rich.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me. Goodbye. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Here's to no Japanese sunset on the 2017 championship battles. And we'll see you on the other side to pick apart all the action. Until then, good night.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.